Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chav Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara is continuing discussing the issue that I left off with yesterday, the bottom of yesterday's daf, with the son of Rav Achai had gotten married and there was a Sefer Torah in the room. And the halacha that we discussed, that one may not be Mishamesh Mitato, may not have marital relations when there's a Sefer Torah in the room, unless there is a Michtitza that is there, or that it's Kli B'toch Kli. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Sefer Torah Tzarech Lasolo Michtitza Sarah. When it comes to a Sefer Torah, one must have a mechitza, some sort of separation that is 10 tefachim high. Marzut Iklo de Beir Ravashi. He went to Ravashi's house. Chazi leduchte de Mar bar Ravashi. He saw the area where his son lived. The manach beis Sefer Torah. Va'avid lei mechitza asarah. He had in his room a Sefer Torah, and he made a mechitza that was 10 tefachim high. Amalei kamad. He says, who are you prosecuting like that you're doing this? He says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Like we just saw, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that a Sefer Torah requires a mechitza of 10 tefachim. So he said back to him, Emar damar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi le beit achrina. That's only true. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's statement's only true when there's no other house. House here doesn't literally mean another house, but another room. Mar hait le beit achrina. You have another room. Samalei lavadatai. I wasn't so focused on it. I didn't really think about it, but you're right. That since I do have a separate room or a separate area to put it in, that's really where it should be. So in terms of hierarchy, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi suggests that first one should have it in a different room when it comes to a Tashmish Amita. And if there is no other room to put it in, then secondarily we'll ask you to do a Mechitza Asara. We'll have to put up a Mechitza of 10 Tfachim high. Tosafot points out over here that when the Gemara says Sefer Torah requires a Mechitza Asara, it's dafka with the Sefer Torah, v'gam b'chumashim, or other things that have a glila, that have a role to them. So then, yesh lachmir kamo sefer Torah. Aval shar sefarim, when it comes to other books, dayan b'kisui ba'alma, it's enough to cover them. In the Mishnah Berurah, he brings down that we do prefer that it be a kli b'toch kli, like we saw in yesterday's daf. So therefore, if you have other sifrei kodesh, like a Gemara, or any other printed Davar Torah, then one should ensure that it is put away. Either Kli B'toch Kli is the best way, but at least Michuseh, that it's covered and out of sight when it comes to Tashmish HaMitah. The same is true when it comes to Mezuzah. A person has a Mezuzah on the door in their room, they should try to mount the Mezuzah on the outer part of the doorpost, not on the inside of the doorpost. That way when the door closes, the mezuzah is found on the outside of the room, and therefore won't be a problem for Tashmish HaMitah. If it's on the inside of the room, then there's some discussion as to whether there is really a double covering. Since the mezuzah is wrapped in paper, and then put inside the casing, maybe that is a Kli B'toch Kli, even though we know these are Kelim designated for the mezuzah. We said yesterday, if it's designated, it's only counted as one. The Mishnah Berurah brings down Deyot, and maybe if you upfront have in mind that it should be a Kli B'toch Kli, maybe it works. But otherwise, one should then put a cover or a cloth over the mezuzah. So, kamayach ikmehem u'minetzorah arba amot. How much do you have to distance yourself away from them or from excrement in order to daven for amot? Amar of skora, amar of huna. Lo shana elo la'acharav. That's when it's behind him. Aval lefanav, marchik meloinav. If it's in front of him, he has to distance himself the amount of visibility. Chen letfilah. When it comes to Kriyat Shema Tefillah, one has to distance between himself and the excrement or any problematic material. He has to not be able to see it. If it's behind him or to the side, then a distance of 4 amot suffices. But in front of it, it's any amount. According to some of the Rishonim, the Din Min HaTorah, that would be 4 amot away or Mechuseh, or be covered. The need for it to be Merchig Melo Einav is in addition to Rabbanan. So that's the Rosh. Other Rishonim, like the Rashba, believe that there is a third din here, which is that you have to distance anything that's in front of you, meloinav, the amount of space that you can see it. Ini, is that really true? Amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chista. Omeid Adam Keneged Beit HaKisei Mitzpalel. A person can stand outside the bathroom and daven. He says, Achamai Skina and Beit HaKisei Shein Botsoa. There we're talking about a bathroom that has no excrement in it. Ini, does that really make a difference? Amar Rav Yosef Bar Chanina. Once it's designated as a bathroom, whether it has excrement in it anymore does not matter. It's a beta kisei, and there is excrement in it at times. Therefore, you can no longer daven right in front of the bathroom. A beta merchatz, when it comes to a bathhouse, even though there's nobody naked inside of it, it's still classified as a bathhouse. We're dealing with a brand new bathroom. It's a brand new bathroom. It's never been used before. That's fine. Ah, mi baile de Ravina. Wasn't this a question posed to Ravina? He's minu lebetek. He say mahu. Yesh zimun or ain't zimun. If he prepares it to be a bathroom, is that in itself, that designation, sufficient to make it into a bathroom or not? So Ravina has a question. You're saying to us, oh, it's clear in our case over here, there's no problem. Or it says, ki kami baile de Ravina lemeka malay litzluye bigavei. Ravina's question is to dive in inside the room. If you want to dive in inside a room that is designated for a bathroom, he's yet to use it as a bathroom, but he's designated as a bathroom, that's where he has a question. Does preparation to be a bathroom sufficient to make it problematic or not? But outside the bathroom, everybody agrees. If it's yet to be used as a bathroom, and you're outside, you can for sure dive in right outside the bathroom. That is not a problem. Now here comes an important line here, which has nafkamina to today, which is Omaroba. Hane bate kasai de parsai. The bathrooms of the Persians, avgob de ibu tsoa kistumim damo. Even though they have excrement in them, they're as if they are covered up, and they do not attain the status of a bathroom. Rashi describes here what that means. What does it mean? The parsai, bichafir hayu. They were dug in, they had outhouses that had a pit in them. Upiyam berachok min aguma. But the opening to the outhouse, to the pit, was far away from the collection area. It's on an incline. And so therefore, when one relieved himself, the excrement or the urine moved away from the location where it was produced. Where it was produced, it went down some sort of shaft or some sort of incline or decline, and down there, and deposited itself far away from the location that you're in. And therefore, it did not attain the status of a bathroom. The other important thing is there's a Tosafot here at the bottom of Chaf Hayamid Aleph. Tosafot talks about Reach Rash Ein Lo Ikar, bad smell that has no source for it. That's what the Gemara discussed. And over there, Tosafot says, Yesh Mefarshim that Bate Kisao Shalono, our bathrooms. This is talking at the time of Tosafot, outhouses. The Omek, they're deep. We dig very deep pits. Im Yesh Ben Mechitza, Mafseket, they have a wall around them, then Havia Kamo Reach Rash Ein Lo Ikar. It becomes like a smell with no source. Kamo Bate Kisao Ter Parsai, similar to the Persian bathrooms, where the Persian bathrooms, the only thing now we're going to consider is smell. If there's a reach, well, then obviously you can't daven there because of the foul odor. But if there's no foul odor, we do not consider it as if the feces are there. And it will not be a problem in terms of location. That comes to our bathrooms today. How does that measure up against our bathrooms today? Our bathrooms today, we also dispose of all the excrement in the urine. They get moved away. They do not sit here. So that would seem to indicate that our bathrooms today should have the same status as those of the Parsaim, of the Persians, and what Tosfot describes over there, where they, only if there's a reach rav, if there's a foul odor, is there a problem? So that would make it that our bathrooms, you could possibly say a shir yatzar in them, or make a bracha in them, because they don't have this issue at all, because we move the excrement and the urine away. That would seem to be the conclusion here. Many of the poskim, including Rav Adi Yosef, and others say that's not true. Our bathrooms are actually different than the Persian bathrooms, and that's because when one relieves themselves in our bathrooms, the excrement and the urine stay there for a duration, and then only afterwards do we move it away. These Persian bathrooms, immediately, the excrement moved away. As soon as it was produced, it rolled down the decline and was moved away from the location where it's produced. By our bathrooms, the excrement is there for a period of time until it's flushed, and then only then does it move away. My only comment about that is, I don't know how good the technology was. The Persian technology was so good that they never had any residue, or everything went away so fast and there was nothing there. It seems somewhat far-fetched, but that is what many of the modern-day poskim suggest, that maybe there is a distinction between our bathrooms and the Persian bathrooms, and that would cause us the problem of it being a makom tumar, a makom that is problematic. Of course, there's reach rav, there's a foul odor, that for sure is an issue. Okay, the next Mishnah is a Mishnah we quoted earlier in the Gemara. It's the Mishnah that finishes up the Perek, which is the Zav Shira Keri. A Zav who has Tumat Shiva is Tamei for 7 days. He sees Keri. Keri is only Tumat Erev. He can go to the mikveh, and then he would be fine the next day. Takanat Ezra says you can't learn Torah unless you go to the mikveh. So here, if he goes to the mikveh, it's going to have no impact on his Tumah, because he's a Zav. Does he have to go to the mikveh for Keri? So Zav Shira Keri, same thing with the Nidash, Palta Shichvat Zera. She expelled Shichvat Zera. She has the same din as a Bal Keri, when she expels the Shichvat Zera within the first 3 days, but she's a Nidah, just Tumat Shiva. Ve'a Mishameshet, a woman who expelled Shichvat Zera, and then afterwards she became Shirata Nidah, she became a Nidah. So first she had the expulsion of the semen, and then only afterwards she became a Nidah. But in all these cases, there's Tumat Shiva, Do you have to go to the mikveh? The Tanna Kamma says, Tricha Tvila. In all of these cases, they need to go to the mikveh to be allowed to learn Torah, to daven, to say brachot. All of these require a mikveh for carry, even though it has no impact on their tumah. Rabbi Yehuda Poter, Rabbi Yehuda says in all these cases, it's meaningless to go to the mikveh because the person remains tameh. So Yibailo, Bal Keri Shira'az Ziva. If he was a Bal Keri first, and only afterwards became a Zav, the Rabbi Yehuda Mahu. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what's the din? Kipa the Rabbi Yehuda Hotam B'Zav Shira Keri. Our case where Rabbi Yehuda says he's Patur is a case where he's first a Zav, and then only afterwards he has a semen omission. Dimi ikara la bar tvilahu, because in the beginning he wasn't chayav tvila. Aval bar keri shira aziv ad dimi ikara bar tvilahu. But a balkari that already was chayav and tvila because he was a balkari, and then only afterwards it becomes a ziva. But over there, mechayev, he will say he does have to get a mikveh. O dilma loshna, or maybe it makes no difference. Tashma, our Mishnah. What's the last case in our Mishnah? Hamishah meshit virata nida tzricha tvila. Rabbi Yehuda Poter. The last case in our Mishnah is a case where a woman who is poletet shikvat zera, she expels the shikvat zera, and then v'ata nidan becomes a nida only afterwards, then tzricha tfila, she still requires a tfila. Rabbi Yehuda poter, Rabbi Yehuda says she's patur in that case. V'ha mishameshet v'ata nidan kebal keri shira ziva. That's the equivalent of a balkari that says it becomes a zav afterwards. But the tumat shiva was after the tumat erev, after the tumat keri. V'kapata Rabbi Yehuda. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda says you're patur. Shma mina. From there you can conclude that Rabbi Yehuda says that no matter what, if you have too much shiva, the issue of balkari is no longer relevant. The only time, and we remember Dayak this in the Gemara before, that Rabbi Yehuda will require him to go to the mikveh is if you're just a plain balkari. If you're a plain balkari, you have to go to the mikveh in order to learn Torah. Tani Rabbi Chiya behedja, balkari shira ziva, tzirich tvila, Rabbi Yehuda poter. Rabbi Chiya has a braita that explicitly says this in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, which is a balkari, someone who had a simon omission, or a seal mission, and then only then became a zav. So now he has too much shiva, but he had the chiyuv of tefillah first. Tanna Kamma says you require tefillah. Rabbi Yehuda says no tefillah. So that explicit in Rabbi Yehuda's position that tefillah for balkari is only when you are simply a balkari. Any other tumah that gets, or too much shiva that gets involved, then there's no longer a din or takanat ezra with terms of balkari. Okay, that would conclude this third parak, and then we move on to the fourth parak. Till now, we've really been dealing with Kriyat Shema. We had a little transition here between Kriyat Shema and Tefillah because of the Makomot HaRe'uim LeTefillah. And now Tefillah Teshachar deals with Tefillah. Dealing with Shemoneh Esrei. Tefillah Teshachar, when it comes to davening Shacharit, Ad Chatzot. The Zman of Shacharit is until midday, noon. Or Yud Omer Ad Dalet Sha'ot, until the fourth hour. Tefillah Temincha Ad Erev. Mincha goes until nightfall, as Rashi says in Chashicha. According to some of the Rishonim, including Rashi and Tosafot, that means until Seita Kochavim. According to others, and the Gra, who we generally follow, is until Shkia, until sunset. Yudomer Ad Plaga Mincha, until halfway through Mincha Ktana, which is an hour and a quarter before the end of the day, and we'll discuss that in the Gemara, at the end of today's daf and tomorrow's daf. Tefillat Erev Ein La Keva. When it comes to Mariv, Ein La Keva, it has no fixed time. We can discuss that in 1 second. V'shel musafim kol hayom. Musaf is all day. It's a question of whether the girsa is Rabbi Yehuda Omeret Shevet Sha'ot until the seventh hour. Is that only found in a braita in the Gemara? It's a question of whether that's found in the Mishnah or not. So now, let's just go through this quickly. If you have Shacharit, then we discuss Mincha, Mariv, and then Musaf. Now, Musaf is all day. So if you were to place it inside of the Mishnah, wouldn't you place Musaf after Tefillat Shacharit? Shacharit begins in the morning until Chatzot. Musaf is all day. And then you would discuss Mincha, which starts halfway through the day and goes until the Erev. So Tosafot points out, Mincha only starts from 12:30 and onward, not from the beginning of the day. And therefore, it can't be said, Tefillat Mincha kol hayom, because it's not all day. Musaf is literally all day. You can daven Musaf from early in the morning, all the way until sunset. But then again, it should have been placed earlier in the Mishnah. Why not? Because the Mishnah deals with Tadira first. Things that are on a regular basis. When it comes to Mincha and Musaf, if I put Mincha up against Musaf, which one is more frequent? Mincha is more frequent. Same thing with Ma'ariv. So therefore, Musaf is put at the end because it's the least frequent of all of these. Now that really does have a nafka mina l'alocha, which is in terms of a competition between Mincha and Musaf. If you have a choice to daven Mincha or daven Musaf, then we're going to say daven Mincha, because Mincha is Tadir. And therefore, you'd have to daven Mincha before Musaf. This comes up on the Yomim No Ra'im, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, where you have a long davening. Idaven Shacharit, if you start Musaf after Zman Mincha, it may be very problematic. One might have to switch around the davening and then daven Mincha first, and then only Musaf afterwards. That's why in many shuls, and I'm sure here too, there might be to start Musaf before Zman Mincha. Because if you do that, then you won't run into this problem, because otherwise you would have to daven Mincha before Musaf, as long as there's Sha'ut Bayom, as long as there's time left. If they're in competition where you're going to lose out on Musaf entirely, then we would tell you to daven Musaf first, and that might be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that Musaf expires at 7 Sha'ut, then you would have a possibility of Zman Musaf terminating and still be able to daven Mincha afterwards. But if we pass it in like the Chachamim, that Musaf is called a Yom, or the Tanakama here, then you would have to daven Mincha first. The other thing is Tiflat Erev in Lakeva has no designated time. What does that mean? So it could mean in Lakeva is because it's a Rishut. That's a Machlok we're going to see on Daf Chav Zayin. I'm not going to get so into it now. As to whether Ma'ariv is obligatory or is simply an optional davening. Over here, Tosafot introduces his Shita and Rishut. Rishut doesn't necessarily mean optional, but it means if it's in competition with another mitzvah. If it's in competition with another mitzvah, we're going to opt for the other mitzvah over Ma'ariv. But if there's no good reason to skip Ma'ariv, you're going to do it. The other interpretation, which has Nafkamil Alochad, is that Tfilat Erev has no set time. Ma'ariv is all the time between the end of Mincha and Shacharit. Shacharit has a Zman, Mincha has a Zman. Ma'ariv has no Zman. You know what the Zman for Ma'ariv is? When Mincha ends, that's when Ma'ariv starts. When Shacharit starts, that's when Ma'ariv ends. That does have nafkaminot in terms of, first of all, when can you daven Ma'ariv? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it would seem you can daven Ma'ariv as soon as Plaga Mincha is over. When you stop davening Mincha, then you can daven Ma'ariv. The other nafkamina might be on Erev Shabbat. On Erev Shabbat, when a person accepts Shabbat, he does Tosefet Shabbat and accepts Shabbat, he can no longer daven Mincha. If he can no longer daven Mincha, that means it is Zman HaMariv. And you could daven Mariv. That means that you might be able to daven Mariv before Shkia. You might be able to daven Mariv, even though it's Tarte de Satre. They are mutually exclusive. You're davening them at a time where it's Mincha time, because once you've accepted Shabbos, you can no longer daven Mincha, then you can daven Mariv already. Again, it doesn't have to be so. It could be that that's an objective standard. When Mincha normally ends, that's when Mariv starts. Not when you decide that Mincha ends that day because you made it Shabbat. Verminu, mitzvatayim neitzachama, kadesh yismoch hula l'tila. The mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is to end it with sunrise in order to be Sumech Gru'ula the Tfilah, to finish Gal Yisrael at sunrise, when you then say Tfilah, you daven Shemon Esrei. V'nimtza mitvalel bayom, and therefore you daven Shemon Esrei during the daytime, because you can only daven Shemon Esrei after Neitzachama, after sunrise. If you daven before sunrise, that is Bidiyevet. The Chatchil, you have to daven right at sunrise. So the Vatikin daven Shemon Esrei right as sunrise comes. In order to have Smicha Gula Tefillah, they're going to daven Shema, they're going to say Shema right before sunrise. So Gemara says, that's Vatikin. The Vatikin, those that are makpid on the mitzvot and want to do things with Zrizut, they daven Shemon Esrei right at sunrise. But that doesn't mean that's the end of Zman of Shacharit. Shacharit then persists until either for Sha'ut for Rabbi Yehuda or until Chatzot for the Chachamim. Tam Rabbi Yochanan Vatikin ayu gomrim ota im neitzachama. The Vatikim finish it with the sunrise. Does everybody agree then that it goes until Chatzot and two more? Person makes a mistake and he missed davening Ma'ariv. Mitpalel Shacharit Shtayim. He davens Shacharit twice. Shacharit Mitpalel Mincha Shtayim. If he misses out on davening Shacharit, he davens Mincha twice. So now that sounds like you can daven Shacharit all the way into the period of Mincha. Where it says no. Kula Yoma Matzli Bazel. You're right. Enochanam. You can daven all day. Ad Chatzot. If you daven Shacharit before noon, Yavilei Schar Tzvila B'Zmana, then you get the reward for davening on time. Plus, you know, you get the reward for davening. Mikan Veilech, from that period onward, Schar Tfilo Yoivle, you get the reward for davening, Schar Tfilo Bizmana Lo Yoivle, you don't get the reward for davening on time. So you can make it up. There is an ability to make it up, but that makeup is not exactly like the original Tfilah. And that's a question in general when we deal with Tashlumim over here, the ability to make up a Tfilah when you've missed it. Do we view the makeup as a replacement? A tikkun, a fixing of the original. I missed Shacharit, now I'm davening Mincha twice. When I daven Mincha twice, it's as if I daven Shacharit, I'm making up for Shacharit, or do we say that Tashlumim is simply an alternative? I have two alternatives to daven Shacharit. I can either daven in the morning, as long as I didn't do something, we'll see in the Gemara, then I can also daven at Mincha time. I'll have different outcomes in that, but I have two alternatives of how to daven shacharit, one better than the other. But not necessarily that the time davening mincha twice makes up for that which you missed that shacharit. Tosafot also points out over here that if you believe tefillah tarvit is reshut, is optional, then why should you be able to daven shacharit twice to make it up? If it's all optional, why do you have to make it up at all? And that's why Tosafot comes to this conclusion. Again, this is more to do with the Gemara Chav Zayin. We'll get there tomorrow. That tefillah reshut does not mean it's optional. Again, it means that it's optional in the face of another mitzvah. But if there's no other mitzvah, you gotta daven ma'ariv. And if you have to daven ma'ariv, then you can make it up by davening shacharit twice. So now the Gemara asks, Gibayilu, tov lo yitpalel mincha. If he doesn't daven mincha, ma'u shiyitpalel arvit bet, or shtayim. Can he daven ma'ariv twice? Im timtzalomer tov lo yitpalel arvit mitpalel shacharit shtayim. The reason by ma'ariv, if you miss it, you can daven shacharit twice, v'shum techale yomo. Because that's one day. Dichtiv, vayarev, vayivoker, yom echad. First comes the night, then comes the morning. Over here, and this is a machloket on the second half of our daf, here tefillah is coming as a representation or replacement for the karbanot. And once the day passes, you can't make up the korban, the karban tamid. If you didn't bring it that day, you can't bring it that night, you can't bring it the next day. So Dilma, gave into tzvota rachmehi, since davening is asking, beseeching Hashem for mercy, as long as you can daven and we allow you to daven, we're going to let you go. So Tashma, Adam Rav Huna, Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Tav, Lo Yitpalel Mincha, Mitpalel Arvit, Shtayim. He does, misses out on daven Mincha, you can daven Ma'ariv twice. Ve'ein Bazeh Mishum Davar Yomo, Batel Karbano. And they don't apply the principle of the day passing and the Karban is over. So Mar says, is that really true? Meitavei. Me'uvat lo yuchol b'tkon, a mistake that cannot be rectified. V'chisaron lo yuchol imanot, and a loss that cannot be enumerated. Me'uvat lo yuchol b'tkon, a mistake that cannot be rectified. Zeh shebitel kriyat shema shel arvit, that someone who didn't daven kriyat shema at night, be kriyat shema shel shacharit, or missed kriyat shema in the morning, you can't make it up. O tefillah shel arvit, o tefillah shel shacharit, someone who didn't daven shemoneh esrei at night, or in the morning. Sounds like here that you're not allowed to make up a tefillah when you missed it. And here we're talking about ma'arib to shacharit or shacharit to mincha, you can't make it up. And then, v'chisaron lo yichol imanot, a loss that cannot be enumerated, zeh shenimnu chavirah ledvar mitzvah. A bunch of people got together to do a mitzvah, v'lo nimna mehem, and he didn't join them, he didn't join together to do something positive with them. Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochanan, achol ma'iskinan, shebitel b'mezid. Over here, he intentionally missed the tefillah. I'm Rav Ashi, Dekanami, you can be mitayek out of the lashon of the Braita. Tani bitel. V'lok tani ta'a. Over there it says he was mibatel it, not that he made a mistake. Before all the memory until now said he made a mistake and forgot the tefillah, he's allowed to make it up by davening twice. The Braita over here says bitel. That he did not daven. Bitel means something nullified it. He did it intentionally. If he misses the tefillah intentionally, he cannot make it up afterwards. So that's an important distinction in making up tefillot. If you do it intentionally, we do not allow you that opportunity to make it up. If you do it be'ones for sure, be'shogeg, shogeg ones, if there's some sort of mistake that causes you not to be able to daven that tefillah, you can make it up at the next tefillah. Now that's only at the next tefillah. If you miss shacharit, you can only daven a mincha, you can't daven a ma'ariv to make it up. Only the next tefillah offers you that opportunity to make it up. Now, that will only be true of shacharit, mincha, and ma'ariv. What about musaf? If you miss Musaf, can you make it up? The answer by Musaf is no. What is Musaf? What do we say when we say the Pesukim in Musaf? We talk about the Korban. It's a Korban Musaf, and it's clear from the Gemara. If you're talking about a Korban, Avar Yomo, Batel Korbano. If you miss the time period for it, you can't make it up. So therefore, Tefillah Musaf will not have Tashlumim. That has also another nafkamina. Number one is that it has no makeup for it. And the second din, which we'll see in the Gemara today, everybody agrees that the reason that Musaf was established is because of the Korban. If it's established because of the Korban, that also means that, if, for instance, if you daven by mistake. So sometimes if you make a mistake in davening, we say to you, finish the bracha. We saw that earlier in the Gemara. If you daven chol on Shabbat, you finish the bracha you're in, and then you go over to daven Shabbat. That is not true by Musaf. Musaf is not a tefillah that was established in place of something else. It's simply for the Korban, and therefore if you're davening chol, and all of a sudden you remember you're supposed to be in Musaf, you stop immediately and you move over to the Musaf. Because there's no reason for you to be davening a chol tefillah here. There's no relevance of a chol tefillah. There's no relevance of any other tefillah. There's no nedava, nothing else. It's simply a Korban. If it's a Korban, it has the dinim that apply to a Korban by tefillah to Musaf. Now the Gemara continues. Tan Rabbanan, Rabbi Braita, Tav lo yitpalel mincha be'erev Shabbat. Person on Erev Shabbat forgot to daven mincha. Mitpalel, Balel Shabbat Shtayim, you daven on Friday night twice. So here it's despite the fact when he davened Shmon Esrei at night, the Shmon Esrei is not going to be a Shmon Esrei of Chol. He missed Mincha, that was a Shmon Esrei of Chol. On the Friday night, he's going to daven two Shabbat Tfilot. Over there we say, go ahead, you can daven two Tfilot of Shabbat. Dav lo yitpalel Mincha b'Shabbat. On Shabbat, he doesn't daven Mincha. Mitpalel will motzei Shabbat Shtayim. Shel Chol. He davens two Shmon Esrei of Chol. So here's the exact opposite. He was supposed to daven Shel Shabbat and Mincha, now it comes to Shabbat, he davens two Shmon Esrei of Chol. He's still not davening a Shmon Esrei of Shabbat. Mavdil b'rishona, you make Abdullah in the first one, veinu mavdil b'shnia, and you don't make Abdullah in the second one. The first one is the regular Ma'ariv that you're supposed to be davening. Over there, you make Abdullah. In the second one, which is a makeup for Mincha, you don't need to make Abdullah in that Shmon Esrei. If you do it, it's not a problem, because you did Abdullah in both of them. If you did Abdullah in either or in both of them, it won't be a problem, but the proper way to do it is do Abdullah in the first, because that's real Ma'ariv. And the second one, which is your makeup for Mincha, you don't make Abdullah in it. On the other hand, if he made Abdullah in the second one, and he did not make Abdullah in the first one, Shnia Altalo, Rishon Alo Altalo. The second one counts, the first one doesn't. Why? Because the order in which you daven, you must first daven your obligatory davening, and then only afterwards do your voluntary davening or your makeup davening. So over here, if he made Abdullah in the second, what is he indicating? He's indicating that the second Ma'ariv is his real Ma'ariv. If that becomes his real Ma'ariv, the one that he davened beforehand is meaningless. You can't daven in the Dova beforehand. That means he has to now daven a third Shmon Esrei. So Im Dabashir Balev Dabashirna, Shnia Altalo, Rishona, Lo Altalo. It doesn't work for him. Now, what does that mean, Lo Altalo? So there are two possibilities of Lo Altalo. Lo Altalo means it doesn't work, and then you have to repeat Shmon Esrei afterwards. Or, Lo Altalo means it doesn't work, and you're out of luck. And that's it. And we'll see in a second what that means. The Memra to say, Kevin to Abdul Kamaita, command the Lo Tzoli Dami. That sounds like that when he doesn't say Abdullah in the first one, it's as if he didn't daven. Umadrinamay, and we would force him to go back and daven again. Veriminu, is that really true? Tavlo, he's kir gvura to kishamim b'tchiyat ha-meitim. He made a mistake and he skipped. Mashiv ruach umor l'goshim in the bracha mechayi ha-meitim. Vishaylah b'brekat shanim. He skipped v'tein talu moto livracha in mivarech ha-shanim. Makzirin oto. You have to go back and re-daven. But Abdullah b'chonin adat, if you skipped Abdullah in the bracha b'chonin adat, ein makzirin oto. We do not force him to go back. Mipnei she'chol omra alakos. Because you can say it later on, Abdullah alakos. So that's a kasha. That's a difficult question in our Gemara here, which seems to indicate when he skipped Abdullah in the first one, that that was problematic, and that doesn't count as his real Ma'ariv. Even though it seems because he said Abdullah in the second one, that was an indication that the first one really wasn't his Ma'ariv. Nevertheless, it should still count, because not saying Abdullah should not impact on the Tefillah. There's a machloket here in the Tosafot between the Rabbeinu Yehuda and the Rif as to Rosh Chodesh. We had the case where he daven Mincha, but he forgot the Yalev Yovo. Mincha and Rosh Chodesh, daven Shmon Esrei, forgot Yalev Yovo. What do you have to do? You have to repeat Shmon Esrei. But it's night already. He missed out. He totally forgot about it. It's nighttime. Should he daven Ma'ariv twice? Did he miss Mincha? The Rabbeinu Yehuda says no. Why daven Ma'ariv twice? If he davens the Shmon Esrei again tonight, what is he doing? He's davening Shmon Esrei again. He already did that at Mincha. Why does he need to daven again? He's not going to get the Yalev Yovo back. He's just doing the same thing he did at Mincha. It's worthless. Don't daven again. On the other hand, the Rif says he should daven again. He should daven Shmon Esrei again. What's clear here, according to Rabbeinu Yehuda, he's making two assumptions about Tashlumim, making up of a tefillah. Number one, which is what we discussed in the Mishnah, is that the makeup for a tefillah is a replacement. It's as if you're taking care of what you did before and you're trying to replace. It's not like an alternative. It is the exact tefillah that you're trying to replicate. Number two is, if you miss Me'ina Me'ora, if you're supposed to add something into Shmon Esrei and you miss it, basically the Shmon Esrei is fine. You're not mekayim the din of saying Yalev Yovo. You're not mekayim the din of adding in something about that specific day, but you still daven Shmon Esrei. So the Shmon Esrei is good. You just missed out the opportunity to say Yalev Yovo. Therefore, there's no reason to make it up at night. On the other hand, the Rif disagrees. The Rif could disagree on one of two points. Obviously, the Rif, we're going to say the disagrees on the second point, but you could also argue on the Tashlumin point. Tashlumin is not an exact makeup of what you did before. It's an alternative, and therefore, you're able to daven it. Or The problem, and this is what the Rif says, is when you don't say Yalav Biyavol, it's as if you didn't daven Shmon Esrei at all. It's not a Shmon Esrei. If you miss Meina Maora, you daven the wrong Shmon Esrei. You didn't daven properly on that day. It's as if you didn't daven Shmon Esrei whatsoever. And therefore, you have to daven Maariv twice, not because you missed Yalav Biyavol, but because you missed Shmon Esrei. You didn't daven at Mincha time. And therefore, you have to daven Maariv twice. Obviously, it has impact the halacha. We paskin in general, like the Rif that we do, daven twice afterwards, because it's a tefillah in the daven anyway. It's a tefillah, it's a makeup tefillah. The Mishnah Berurah brings down, therefore, if it happened on Erev Shabbat, Mincha on Erev Shabbat, you missed out on Yalav Biyavol. So at night, you're going to daven Maariv twice to make that up, don't do it. Because the reason that we pass like the Rifi is because Mimonav Shach, you can say it's a tefillah in the daven, it's a voluntary offering. You're not allowed to have tefillah in the daven on Shabbat. Since you're not allowed to have tefillah in the daven on Shabbat, you shouldn't daven Maariv twice when it comes to that situation where it's Mincha on Erev Shabbat, you forgot Yalav Biyavol, Friday night is not Rosh Chodesh, and you want to daven Shmoneh Esrei twice, you shouldn't do it, because you're making up for something where we say it's only because it's a Nedava. And over there, you can't do it because you can't do a tefillah in the Nedava on Shabbat, and since it's a Safek, you shouldn't do it on that. Otherwise, go ahead and do it like the Rif, because at worst, you're just giving a tefillah in the Nedava. You're doing a voluntary Shmoneh Esrei. Sidmar, now we have a fundamental machloket about the source for tefillah. Yosef Rabbi Chinin Amar, tefillah tavot, tiknom. Our forefathers established the tefillot. Rabbi Shuv ben Levi Omer, tefillot keneged tmidim tiknom. They are keneged the korbanot. Tanya kavati to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chinin, a bright that supports Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chinin, but Tanya kavati to Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. Right, let's support Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. Tanya kavetei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Avram tikein tefillah shacharit. Avram established shacharit. Shneamar v'yeshkeim Avram baboker elamakom asher amad sham marishana. Gets up in the morning, goes back to the place he was before. This is by Stone v'Amorah, where he had asked Hashem or beseeched Hashem to save Stone, and then he goes back there in the morning. Ve'imini b'idai letefillah. Shneamar v'yamod Pinchas v'yifalel. Tehillim, it says that Pinchas stood up and he davened. So you see, standing up refers to tefillah. So he went back to the location where he was before. Amad Sham is a place that he had davened. And we say, Vayashkeim Avram Babok, he got up in the morning, that's where he davened. Yitzchak tikein tefillat Pinchas, Shemar. Vayetzech Yitzchak lesuach basadeh. Yitzchak went out to lesuach in the field, lifnot erev, but right before evening. Vein tzicha letefillah. That lesuach means to daven, Shemar. Tefillah la'ani ki atof lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. The tefillah, the prayer of the ani ki atof, who is afflicted, and before Hashem he spills out his siach, his words or his needs. So you see, siach is equated with tefillah. So whenever Yitzchach lasuach v'sadem, it's when to daven, and over there it says lifnot erev, that it happened right before evening. So that's mincha. Yaakov tikein tefillat arvit shneamar vayivka b'makom vayolim cham. He came to that location and he slept there. Vein pigiyah lo tefillah. And pigiyah, bumping into something. That lashon of pigiyah is to beseech, not just a bump. Because in emar v'atah titbalel ba'adam hazeh, you should not daven on behalf of this nation. V'al tisab adam rinau tefillah, you should not raise a song or a prayer. V'al tif gabi, do not press me. Pressing me over here means daven. So you see that pigiyah means tefillah. Tosafot points out, based on the Medrash, that Yaakov Avinu went to Haran. And when he got to Haran, he says, did I pass by my forefather's place where they had daven and I didn't daven? How could it be? I'm going to go back and daven. So it sounds from there that he davened when it was still daylight and not evening time. From there, Tosafot says, the halacha must be like Rabbi Yehuda, that you daven while it's still daylight out. You daven when it's daylight out because that's what Yaakov did. So based on that, he says that the halacha might be like Rabbi Yehuda, that you daven until Plag HaMincha, and then Maariv already starts after Plag HaMincha, based on this Medrash by Yaakov Avinu. Tanya Kavati Rabbi Shuv ben Levi, a bright that supports the position of Rabbi Shuv ben Levi. Bnei Ma'amru Tefillah Deshachar Chatzot. Why does Tefillah Shachar go until noon? Sharei Tamid Shul Shachar Karei Valech Ad Chatzot. Because Tamid Shul Shachar goes until Chatzot. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Arba Shot. Sharei Tamid Shul Shachar Karei Valech Ad Arba Shot. Because the Tamid Shachar is brought until the fourth hour. Bnei Ma'amru Tefillah Mincha Ad Erev. Why did Tefillah Mincha go until nightfall? Sharei Tamid Shul Ben Arbaim Karei Valech Ad Erev. Because it goes until evening time. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Plag HaMincha. That the Tamid Shul Ben Arbaim was brought only until Mincha time. Sharei Tamid Shul Ben Arbaim Karei Valech Ad Plag HaMincha. There's no designation. Sharei evarim, the limbs of a ola uptarim, and the fats of any other korban shalonit aklu, that were not consumed on the mizbeach during the day. Me be'erev krevim v'ochim kol alayla, they're brought all night on the mizbeach. One interesting note about the evarim and uptarim that are put on the mizbeach all night, that was true on a regular day. On a regular day, after the whole day was completed, after the sun set, anything that had a korban that was brought during the day, they used to put the evarim darim on the Mizbeach for the remainder of the night in order to burn overnight. But there's one exception to that rule. And the Aruch HaShulchan, based on that, says maybe there's a limud zchut on those people that do something interesting on Erev Shabbat. And that is that the din is by Shabbat that the korbanot are doche Shabbat. But that is olat Shabbat b'Shabbato. Only a korban which is supposed to be brought on Shabbat is doche Shabbat. A korban that is not brought on Shabbat does not doche Shabbat. And that is true with Evarim Ptarim. When it came to Friday afternoon, all the korbanot that were left over may not be put on Friday night onto the Mizbeach, because that's already Shabbat and it's not doche Shabbat. That means that they put all the Evarim Ptarim onto the Mizbeach before nightfall on Friday night, because otherwise they would not be able to put them on. So based on that, the Aruch HaShulchan says maybe that's why people daven Ma'ariv early on Erev Shabbat. Maybe there's a reason for it, because not only are they Mekabel Shabbat and they bring Shabbat in early, but the Ma'ariv is keneged the Evarim Ptarim, and on Friday afternoon in the Mikdash, Enoch Hanami, that the Evarim Ptarim were brought prior to sunset. And therefore, maybe there's no problem of Tarte Desatre and all these other issues that people talk about by maybe bringing in a 7 o'clock Shabbat, where there's no consideration of Plaga Mincha and Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe it has to do with this factor, that they brought the Evarim Ptarim in the Mikdash on Erev Shabbat before sunset. And so too, on Erev Shabbat, you should daven Ma'ariv before sunset. The Aruch HaShulchan brings that as a possible reason for davening Ma'ariv early on Erev Shabbat.
Umipnei ma'amru v'shal musafim kol ha'yom. How come musafim is all day? Shei korban shal musafim, karev kol ha'yom, is brought all day. Yehuda mer ad sheva sha'ot, that's brought until the seventh hour. This is where Yehuda says it, the question of whether it fits in the Mishnah, this is only in the Braita. Shei kar musaf karev alech ad sheva sha'ot. Musaf is only brought until the seventh hour. Ve'ezi mincha gdola. What is mincha gdola? From 6.5 hours on in the day, that's from 12:30 and onward on a perfect day. What is mincha ktano? From 9.5 hours on in the day, because that's when they brought the tamid shebein arba'im. The earliest they ever brought the tamid shebein arba'im is at 12:30, 6.5 hours. That's on erev Pesach, that is erev Shabbat. And the normal time that they brought the tamid shebein arba'im is 9.5 hours on the day. So that's the difference between mincha gdolo and mincha ketano. Ibailo, Rabbi Yehuda, plaga mincha kamo kamar, uplaga mincha achrona kamar. When he says the half of mincha, he means half of mincha ketano. Which half does he mean? Does he mean the first half or the second half? Tashma, the tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, mer plaga mincha achrona amru. We're talking about the latter, plaga mincha. He yud alef shot chaser revia. That's 11 hours minus a quarter, or 10 hours and 45 minutes on the day, or an hour and a quarter before the end of the day. So that is plaga mincha according to Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfot over here asks an interesting question with regards to Rabbi Yehuda. He says, Rabbi Yehuda says that mincha goes until plaga mincha. But why? We understand the Rabbanan's position. The Rabbanan's position is it's any time that you can bring the Tamid Shreino Ben Arbaim. Well, it starts at 12:30, 6.5 hours onto the day, because that's the earliest you could bring the Tamid Shreino Ben Arbaim. Mincha Ktano starts at 9.5 hours on the day at 3:30. Because that's when it was normally brought. And you can bring the Talmud Shal Ben Arbaim until the end of the day. So that's the position of the Chachamim. But where does Rabbi Yehuda come up with this Plaga Mincha? So Tosafot suggests over here, V'yish lomar Rabbi Yehuda s'rilei, the Tefillah keneged Ketoret tiknua. That the Tefillah was established keneged the Ketoret. And we know when it comes to the Korbanot, the Korban Tamid comes along with the Korban Tamid, the Ketoret and a Mincha. So he says that the Ketoret was brought after the process of the Tamid, and that was roughly around the Plaga Mincha. And that's what's driving the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Because it says, Tikon Tfilati Ketoret Lefanecha, that you should make my Tfilah like a Ketoret. And therefore he sees some sort of parallel between the Ketoret and Tfilah. This is interesting because the Gra asks, why is Tfilat HaMincha called Mincha? Meaning by the Tamid Shel Shachar, we say that's called Shacharit. Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, why do we call it Mincha? So the Gra suggests the reason is because the last thing brought from the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim is the mincha that came along with the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, and that's why it's called mincha. Now, based on that, he explains the difference between how we daven by Shacharit and by mincha. By Shacharit, we say that the Zman Shacharit begins at the time that you bring the Tamid Shel Shachar and ends when you could have completed it. But we opt for you to daven closer to the time that it was brought. By mincha time, we do the opposite. We say that the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim was brought at whether it was 12:30 or 3:30 on the day, nevertheless, one is allowed to daven all the way down to the end of the Korban Tamid. What's the last part of the Korban Tamid? That's Mincha. And that's why we daven Shacharit earlier, and we daven Mincha later, because one is connected to the beginning process, Shacharit,
the beginning of the Tamid Shor Shachar, and the other one is connected the end of the process, the end of the Tamid Shor Abayim, which is the Mincha. And that's why it's called Shacharit and Mincha, according to the Gra.
Neima Davia Tiufta de Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. This should be a strong question against Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, this Braita. Samachar Yosef Chanina, Lolam Mincha, Tilot Avot Timknum. The Avot established the Tfilu, Asmichinu Rabbanon Karbanot. And the Rabbanon established them based on the Karbanot. That's what gave them the time frame.
So the originations of the tefillot are the avot, but the karbanot guide us as to what the time periods are. Dilo te ma'ochi, he has to say this because then what is he going to do with tefillot musaf? The Rabbi Yosef Rechinina, man takna. There is no av that was mitakein musaf. Ela tefillot avot tignum, the tefillot the avot establish, basmichinu rabbanon a karbanot. And therefore, where there is no avot, the karbanot still govern. And that's what we said before, that tefillot musaf is governed by the korban and has a different din because of that. There's no tashlumim. If you make a mistake in musaf, you stop right away, you don't make it up. Because tefillot musaf is solely based on korban, it is not based on avot at all. Tefillot avot tignum is the din of rachamim. And therefore, may the Rishonim connect between the two. That when we say Tfilot Rachmeninu, that's based on the one who says Tfilot Avot Tiknum. We say Aver Yomo Betel Karbano, that's referring to those that think that it's established by Korban. Here, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina has both aspects of that in the Tfilot, and therefore the Dinim would apply on different aspects of the Tfilah. You can make up the Tfilot Avot Tiknum, you can't make up the Korban aspect of it. But when you only have one of those two, like Musaf, the Din will be different as we discussed earlier. Okay, we'll stop over here.